that man behind the curtain.
All that hate's gonna burn you up, kid.
Keeps me warm.
You'll put down your rock and I'll put down my sword and we'll try and kill each other like civilized people.
Hello and welcome to the Red 7 Movie Cast, the official podcast of LaRouche Cinema. This is episode 63 for the week of March 25th, 2019. I'm your host, Hemanth Naidu, and you can follow me on Twitter and on Letterboxd at HJ Naidu. That's H-J-N-A-I-D-U. And you can also find this podcast on Twitter at Red7Cast, and that's the word 7, not the number. So last episode, I mentioned that I was going to try and do a review for Free Solo, which I had watched and I really liked. But I actually ended up not doing a review of that this week. What I'm going to talk about instead is Triple Frontier. So this is a new Netflix film that was released, I guess, about a week and a half ago. And I was looking forward to watching that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So I actually ended up not getting a review out last week. I actually had everything ready to go. I had all my notes ready for Triple Frontier. And yeah, I just didn't get around to actually recording it. And I can actually blame that on the release of this new video game, The Division 2. So the first Division game, which came out, I think 3 years ago, I actually played that game quite a bit. It's probably my favorite game of all time. It is this open world, kind of military post Armageddon type shooter. And it's kind of it's a looter shooter. And it's based in the Tom Clancy kind of universe, I guess. And so that game I actually put quite a few hours into, and I was really looking forward to this new installment in this series, The Division 2, which just came out, I guess, what was it, March 12th? I think it was officially released on March 15th. But if you pre-ordered a certain copy, you got 3-day early access to it. So that's what I ended up getting. So I actually ended up playing quite a bit of that game. I'd get home after work and had all the intentions of recording an episode, and then I ended up actually spending time playing the video game. Yeah, that's the main reason I wasn't able to get my episode out. But anyway, the game, I'm really having a good time with it. It's pretty fun. It's kind of very similar to the previous game, but they cleaned up a lot of things. A lot more to do this time around, and the world, it's set in Washington, D.C. this time. The first one was set in New York City and in Manhattan, and this one is set in Washington, D.C. 6 months after the first game. So it's pretty crazy how they're able to build these worlds, and they're based on real cities. And I haven't been to Washington, D.C., but from what I hear, it's a pretty good representation of that city and like the parts that they actually mapped here. So I've already put in, I think, 30 hours in the first whatever week and a half, and I see that number going up quite a bit here over the next few months to a year. But anyway, that's the reason I didn't get my episode out last week, and that's kind of embarrassing, but it happens every once in a while. So I know I said with my new format of the show here that I'm going to be just focusing on one review a week and just kind of doing a quick review. But I am going to talk briefly here, very briefly, about Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, the movie, I guess, a sequel to the first one. So this one was just released in 2018, and it was released on, I guess, Blu-ray and VOD, I guess, a couple weeks ago or last week. So I didn't buy the Blu-ray. My wife and I, we decided to watch it one evening, I think on a Friday night. So I rented it on iTunes. And so for me, Harry Potter, the movies, it took me a while to get through all of those. I kept falling asleep watching those movies. Not that I disliked them, but I don't know what it was about those movies, but I just could not stay awake when watching them. So finally, I think it was a couple years ago during my Frozen Fest, my 31 films in 31 days, I decided to just go through, out of 8 days in that time span, I did all the Harry Potter movies. And Yeah, I got through them all, and I thought they were fine. They were okay movies, and nothing spectacular. I didn't love them. I wasn't a Harry Potter fan before. I haven't read any of the books, so it was just kind of movies that I knew I needed to watch, and I finally got through them. But even watching them during that time, I still had a hard time staying awake. And actually, I think through a lot of those movies, I had to like pause it mid movie, and then I took like a 15-minute nap, set my alarm, and then I'd wake up and finish the movie off. But I mean, I got through them all. And then when the Crimes of or no, not when the first Fantastic Beasts movie came out, whatever that was, a couple of years ago, I ended up buying that Blu-ray and I watched that with my wife back then. My wife is a Harry Potter fan, so I watched the first Fantastic Beasts with her, and I thought it was okay. It was kind of pretty much along the same kind of how I felt about the Harry Potter films. I probably didn't enjoy it as much as those movies, but I thought it was okay. So this Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald came out, and my friend and his wife, they're pretty huge Harry Potter fans. They actually went to it opening weekend and asked if we want to go, and we decided not to, my wife and I. So yeah, we just watched it here, rented it at home, and watched it in our theater. So anyway, I just wanted to briefly mention this movie. This is probably one of the worst movies I have seen in a very long time. I actually rated it a half a star out of 5 on Letterboxd. I would have given it a 0, I think, if Letterboxd allowed that. And so while I was watching it, kind of it started taking off, and I just needed to pause it in the first like 5 minutes just to kind of ask my wife just for a quick refresher on who these characters, some of these characters were, and then I was good to go. And then I kind of remembered the first movie, and okay, I was like, okay, I know what's going on now. But then as I watched the movie, nothing made sense. It was like they were talking about stuff that I had no clue what was going on. I didn't know who these people were that they were talking about, even though I've seen every movie. It just, nothing was making sense to me. It was like very confusing. So, that was kind of like the first half hour of the movie, and I was like, okay, this is going to, eventually everything will come together for me. But as I kept watching this 2-hour movie, nothing ever made any sense. It was just like pretty much incoherent to me for the first, like it's a 2-hour and what, 7-minute movie or something like that. And it was like, what, I think I reviewed this on Letterboxd and I said like first 2 hours and 5 minutes is pure incoherence. And the last 5 minutes is some sort of reveal that I think is supposed to be surprising or have some sort of meaning, but it really meant nothing to me. So I don't know. So my problem with this movie was, even though I've seen every one of the movies in this series, that doesn't seem to be enough to actually get what was going on in this movie. It seems like you have to have actually read all of these books as well. Like when it was over, my wife said to me, "Did you even get any of that?" Like she said, "I feel like you have to have read the books to get any of that." She said some of that stuff got pretty specific. And that was my problem with it. It was like, this is a movie and I should be able to have seen all the movies in the series and then still be able to understand this movie. And I think for me, that's a failure of a movie if it requires you to have, read or watched other supplemental material that is not part of, of the movie itself or the series. So, I don't have problems with some supplemental movie or supplemental material for movies. Like I can think back to Alien Covenant that came out whenever that was, last year or 2 years ago. So that movie itself, I enjoyed the movie. I know a lot of people didn't, but I enjoyed it. And, you could watch that movie and not even have really seen any of the other Alien movies. And the movie itself was self-contained. You could still get the plot of the movie. There was an arc for the characters. You got everything still. But seeing the other movies just enhances your experience. And then also the reason I mentioned Alien Covenant is because it actually had supplemental videos on YouTube. They were these kind of short film type things that you could watch. And if you watch them, it just added to your experience. But they weren't required to be watched. You didn't have to watch them to get actually what the movie was about. And I feel like The Crimes of Grindelwald required you to have read these other things if you wanted to get any enjoyment out of the movie. So like I said, a movie that requires this type of stuff is a failure to me. And when this movie was over, like I was like livid. Like I cannot believe I wasted 2.5 hours watching this thing. So yeah, it was pretty disappointing. And I don't know, I am sure there's gonna be a third one, and I think I'm gonna skip it. Like there's no way I can put myself through that again. I usually don't feel that strongly about a movie, but this movie just like was infuriating to me, and I hated it. So I just wanted to mention that here, just kind of get it off my chest. But yeah, I mean, I think this is the lowest rated movie critically out of any of the Harry Potter movies franchise. I think it was like 37% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I know it didn't do all that hot. And I think the ending, like that reveal they do at the end, I think that rubbed a lot of the Harry Potter fans the wrong way. I'm not sure why, but it did. So yeah, that's my quick review of The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Whoa, whoa. I'm getting into the fucking net. What's the plan here?
We're gonna get that money back over that mountain to the ocean. Benny, cover us from under that tree line there. Fish, you take a position up there. That's cocaine they're growing, so they may have weapons trained on us from those buildings right there.
We got working radios?
No, comms are dead.
Go with hand signals. Pope and I'll get out there and look as peaceful as we can. We'll give you a hand signal when we think it's secure.
Let's move.
Benny.
Hola.
That was a clip from Triple Frontier, released in 2019, directed by J.C. Chander, written by Mark Boal and J.C. Chander, starring Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, Garrett Hedlund, and Pedro Pascal. The description from IMDb is, "Loyalties are tested when 5 former Special Forces operatives reunite to steal a drug lord's fortune, unleashing a chain of unintended consequences." So this was a Netflix film, like I mentioned. And it was released, I guess, a week and a half ago on March 13th on Netflix. And it was also, it did an early release in a handful of theaters a week before that, I think on March, whatever that is, March 6th. So I had only started hearing about this movie fairly recently. And when I found out which of these filmmakers were involved, and what the cast was going to be, I got pretty excited about it and was really looking forward to checking this out when it hit Netflix. So if the name J.C. Chander does not ring a bell with you, he has directed such films as A Most Violent Year, Martian Call, and All Is Lost. So A Most Violent Year and Martian Call, I really liked those movies. I liked them quite a bit. I have not seen All Is Lost, but from what I understand, it is supposed to be pretty awesome and kind of his best film, I think, of what I've heard people say. It is on my list to watch, but I just haven't got around to watching it yet. So when I saw this movie, I actually got in one of those emails from Netflix saying, hey, this movie is being released in a few days that you probably are going to be interested in. So I saw the title, Triple Frontier, didn't really tell me much. I had no idea what this movie is about. Did a quick look on the cast, and you know, I saw all these great actors in it, so I was pretty excited to watch it. But yeah, I really had no idea about what this movie was going to be about, other than, you know, reading the description on IMDb just before I had started watching it. So with these filmmakers, you know, the cast, it being a military action film plus a heist film, this thing was ticking off quite a few boxes for me. Like, there was a lot of stuff here that it was going to, you know, play right into my wheelhouse. So it was something that I thought I was going to really like a lot. So Kathryn Bigelow, she is also one of the producers on this. And she has worked with these guys. She's worked with Mark Boal, who wrote The Hurt Locker. He wrote Zero Dark Thirty and Detroit. So he wrote this one as well. And so, yeah, that mean I liked all of those movies quite a bit. Detroit, I thought, was okay. I didn't love it. But yeah, like The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty, I love those movies. So everything here was, you know, it was looking pretty good from the start. So even though I like military action films quite a bit, you know, they can tend to, you know, have this rah-rah America's great kind of tone to them in many cases. And that, you know, usually affects my enjoyment of them. So before I knew who was involved in this movie, I was a bit worried about that. I thought it was going to be one of those types of movies. But then once I saw that, you know, once I saw who wrote it and who it was produced by, I was feeling a lot better going into it. And then, you know, thinking it was going to be more than just kind of an action film as well. Like, I knew there was going to be some good action. That was kind of what it looked like. But just based on people who were involved, I was thinking and hoping that there was going to be, you know, a bit more going on kind of beneath the surface other than just, you know, being this action film. Okay, so what did I actually think of Triple Frontier? I liked it quite a bit. It played out more like an action film than I was expecting, much more so than Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker. I mean, both of those had some action sequences, but, you know, they weren't kind of an action film. I wouldn't call those action films. But this one, you know, I think it is an action film. And I was okay with that. This was a movie that I was hoping, you know, would lean a little bit more on the action side. And, you know, that's what I got. So the film, it opens up pretty strongly for me. It had this opening sequence where we see Oscar Isaac's character along with his police force that he's part of in some South American country. It's either Colombia, Peru, or Brazil, I think. And they're raiding this restaurant or a bar that contains some drug-related people. So it's really good action here. The cinematography is noticeably good. Some really cool shots during this sequence, this opening sequence. And right then and there, like, it kind of sets the tone for the film. It kind of holds up to what we see in that opening sequence. And then, you know, being a heist film, this movie, it does kind of, it gives us that required, you know, assembling the team sequence that we see in pretty much every heist film. And I think it was done pretty effectively here. Like, they don't spend a ton of time on each character, but they do it in a way that you get a pretty good understanding of who each of these people are. Like, you get to know them and know what makes them tick and just kind of what their deal is. And I think, you know, some of these characters, they get a little bit more background. We get a little bit more insight into them, mainly Ben Affleck's character and Charlie Hunnam's, and probably Oscar Isaac as well. But, you know, I didn't really feel like any of the other characters on the team were there just to fill out the team. Like, I didn't feel like they were getting shortchanged. I felt like we still got to know them, and they did feel like real characters. And, yeah, they just didn't feel like these background characters that, you know, can often happen when you have these ensemble casts, and, you know, when you have a pretty big team, you can tend to lose track of a lot of people, or just you don't feel like you get to know them. But that didn't feel like that here for me. But I think, yeah, easily it could have gone the other way, you know, like we've seen in so many other types of movies like this. So the film, yeah, it does really shine in the action scenes, and it does an awesome job of just creating tension and really keeping you on the edge of your seat, especially during the heist scene. It was a really great scene. I really liked it. And, you know, like I said, with this being a heist film, I was actually surprised that this heist actually takes place pretty early on in the film. And it is here, it's during this scene that we start to see the true nature of these characters. And I don't know, maybe true nature isn't the real right description here, but I guess we see how each person, you know, these highly trained special ops soldiers, you know, how things can change when a huge amount of money is involved. And I found this really interesting. And, you know, the way it goes, I don't think it was really predictable. And it doesn't go off the rails ever really story-wise. Like, you know, each character, I think, they act in what I thought was a realistic way, and I could easily buy, you know, what was happening to actually be something that could happen in a case like this. And, you know, it's during this heist that the real problems for the team start, and it's here that my inclination that this film would be more than just an action film, you know, coming from Kathryn Bigelow and J.C. Chander and Mark Boal, it's here that we get to, you know, see the other layers of the film start to get revealed. And we get to see, you know, these physical struggles the team have to deal with after the heist, as well as the moral and personal conflicts that they have to deal with. And none of this stuff feels glossed over. The film, it does a really good job of spending a lot of time on this and making it feel like a significant part of the story. It doesn't feel like it's just tacked on to make it look like there's more to the movie than there is. Like, it is an action film, and but it does have this extra nuance to it, and that was what I was hoping for, and I think it really delivered that for me. You know, but even at this point after the heist, there is still tense action scenes spread out until the end of the film. Like, the heist, I say, is probably the greatest action sequence in the film, and that's probably the high point of the movie, but I think, you know, it does continue that through the rest of the movie, so it doesn't just kind of, like, veer off into, you know, a more quiet film, you know, based on these struggles that the guys are going through. There still is action sprinkled throughout, and that really worked well for me, because I was hoping this would be a little bit more of an action movie than, you know, some of the other stuff from these filmmakers. So, you know, the only thing I can really think of that I wasn't a huge fan of was there was a scene early on where the team's doing their reconnaissance of the heist, like how they're going to go about doing it, and just kind of getting a feel of this, I guess, this complex or this house that they're going to infiltrate. And that scene felt a little bit weird to me. It was actually a little bit confusing when it started. Like, it kind of just jumps into that scene out of nowhere, I felt. And for a little bit there, I wasn't sure if this was going to be the actual heist. Like, I was actually that confused. You know, there didn't really seem to be any lead up to it. They talked about doing the reconnaissance. They called it a recce. They kept saying recce, and I wasn't quite sure what that meant. And then I was guessing it meant reconnaissance, but I had never heard it referred to as a recce. But so they were doing their reconnaissance here. But yeah, it just kind of like jumped into that scene, and I was a little bit disoriented until I eventually realized what was going on. But yeah, that scene seemed a little bit off to me. But other than that, yeah, I think this movie, it does a pretty good job throughout. And actually, you know, it actually reminded me, so I mentioned The Division 2, that Tom Clancy game I've been playing. There's another Tom Clancy game that I've played quite a bit of as well, Ghost Recon Wildlands. And so that in that game, it's very similar to The Division in that it's kind of this third-person open-world game where you just can run around this entire world and do whatever you want, basically. I mean, there is a main story mission, but there's lots of side missions, and you can go about it in any way you see fit, whatever fits your playing style. So Ghost Recon Wildlands, like I said, another Tom Clancy game. In this one, it's set in Bolivia, in this fictional Bolivia. It's Bolivia, but it's a fictional representation of it. And basically it's become a drug state. And basically you are a team of four special ops guys sent in to disrupt the drug industry there and take it down from within the country. So actually, when I was watching this movie, a lot of this felt like that game. Like, in that game, the way I played it, you know, would approach these missions and you would like recon the place and, you know, find out, you know, basically, you know, you'd be way outside your area and you'd like use your binoculars or whatever and you'd scope out the situation. You could use a drone as well and send your drone in and just kind of map out the area, see where the enemies are, mark them, and then you could plan the way you're going to go into each mission like that, and then you'd go in and execute your mission. And this is kind of like what this felt like here as well. They're set in the South American countries, and, you know, just the setting felt the same, and the way they were like reconning everything, it really, really reminded me of that game. It was pretty cool, and it was pretty interesting to see how similar it was. But anyway, as you can probably tell, I really liked this movie. And actually, the more I thought about this movie after the fact, it really started to grow on me. And, you know, I definitely recommend seeing this, and it's currently streaming on Netflix, so it's super accessible if you have a Netflix account. There's no reason not to watch this. And I'm not sure if it's still playing in theaters anywhere, but if it is, you know, I think it'd be worth seeing this on the largest screen possible. But like I said, it was playing when it did in pretty limited release, I think just in some major centers, like probably New York and LA and that type of stuff. So I think most people are obviously going to see this on Netflix, and, you know, I definitely, like I said, I think it's something worth checking out. There's, you know, just to recap, there's some really great cinematography of South American landscapes. You know, so that stuff I think benefits from being on a theater screen or a bigger screen. And then just the, you know, great action scenes, a great cast. I think they all do a really good job, you know, in the acting department. There was, everything seemed really, really strong to me. And yeah, I mean, the characters themselves, I think, you know, we spend a lot of time with these characters and we get to know them, and none of them feel like they're just kind of side characters. And then, you know, coupled with the great action sequences, there is, you know, a second layer to this film where we're, you know, we're dealing with the morality of what they're doing and just that type of stuff. So yeah, this movie, I think it has a little something for everyone if you're into kind of action movies. So yeah, my rating, I actually rated this right after I watched it. I rated a 3.5 out of 5, but the more I kept thinking about it, I bumped it up to a 4 out of 5, and that's where it sits right now.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls.
All right, so that's all I have for this week. So my next episode, I think I'm going to talk about Us. So that's Jordan Peele's new movie that just opened this past weekend. I was actually going to go see it this past weekend, and I just never committed to buying tickets. And then when I was thinking about doing it, they were actually all sold out on this weekend by the theater by me. So that was kind of disappointing. Well, I think some of the later shows were playing or had a few seats available, but I couldn't do it Saturday night. My wife had plans. And then Sunday night, yeah, I could have seen one at 9:30 showtime, but that was too late. Like by the time I get home, it's 11:30 or 12. And that, you know, it's too late to have to deal with going to work the next day. I'll just feel crappy. So I think I'm going to try and see it later this week. And I think I've been hearing decent things about it. I don't really know what this movie's about. I haven't read anything about it, but I am really looking forward to seeing it and seeing what Jordan Peele's second movie is like after Get Out. So yeah, that's the plan for next week. I also have so many Blu-rays that have come out recently that I need to get to. If Beale Street Could Talk, I got that Blu-ray. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I mean, I've seen this already, but my wife and my youngest child haven't yet, and we've been planning to watch that. I still have The Favorite to watch. Green Book. I won't buy that movie, but I will rent it on iTunes and watch it just to get it over with. And I do want to see Vox Lux as well. That one with Natalie Portman. It's been on Blu-ray and VOD for a few weeks now, and I do want to watch that as well. But that's just kind of a handful of all these Blu-rays that I need to get through. But anyway, I do plan to talk about Us next week. So anyway, yeah, you can always find more episodes of this podcast at red7cast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. And if you wanted to help me out, you could head over to iTunes and search for this podcast, the Red 7 Moviecast. And give me a rating and or a review, and that might help me get in front of a few more listeners. And if you enjoyed this episode or you know someone who might enjoy it, feel free to share it with them. You can follow me on Twitter at HJNaidu. That's HJNAIDU. And you can also add me as a friend on Letterboxd with that same handle. And like I said earlier, there's also a Twitter account for this podcast, and you can find that at Red7Cast. And that's the word 7 and not the number. So until next time, just keep watching movies, and thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, there's one thing I know. I'm younger than you. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do.